And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Aaron, since you were just talking about this, it's a good time to announce the formation of my new nonprofit.
Yes.
I'm forming the ASPCAGH, the American Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Asian Giant Hornets.
Why is that?
I don't know.
You want to?
It seems very discriminatory to me that we're going after the, just because they're giant. I don't know. But are they killer? Are these the killer bees?
These are
these
so-called murder hornets. Yeah, and
they're murder hornets.
Yeah, they're a serious threat to our native honeybee population, and we want the honeybees to stick around.
I love the honeybees.
Yeah.
Okay, I am canceling my brand new nonprofit, the ASPCAGH.
That was fast. Good.
Okay. Well, that's the way we work around here.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming to you from the Car Subaru studio. Welcome. It's a world of news and a tiny little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our fastest 15. And I'll be honest with you. There are some days, and yesterday was one of these days, where I could have done 12 hours of prep for the show. Nicole could have done the same. And it just, there was plenty of news, but we barely had enough compelling news. I think everything we did yesterday, Nicole, was compelling. But we couldn't have gone another 30 seconds. We kind of coasted in on fumes yesterday.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was just one of those days, and we kind of just got through everything.
Yeah, but it was great. But here's the thing. When we prepare the show, and I mean this in a literal sense, we usually have 2 to 3 times the amount of material that we need for a 3-hour show. And then we pick and choose the very best of all of that. So you're getting the real cream of the crop here. But yesterday, we had exactly one time the amount of material for a good 3-hour show. But today, it's a bountiful harvest of news for us. So let's get right into this, for crying out loud. So we talked about this horrible murder in Auburn a week or so ago. A 40-year-old guy, bipolar disorder, believe he was a veteran. He was holed up in a house with his mother. And there's all kinds of screaming. Police were called. The mother was able to get out to the garage and barricade herself in. Well, the police got her out of the garage, got her a couple of blocks away. And so the 40-year-old guy with the gun is alone in the house. And because of the stupidest bill I have ever seen in our state and maybe in our country, this House Bill 1310, tragedy ensued. The police were not allowed. They were not allowed under the terms of this bill to go into the house and get the guy with the gun, because you have to give special consideration to somebody who might be mentally distressed. And they knew he was mentally distressed. They knew he was bipolar. And if they went in and the guy fired a shot at the cops would have returned fire. They very likely, very possibly would have killed him. And then the people behind this bill and Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson would have said, murder charges against the officers. And the officers said, nope, letter of the law, we cannot go in there. So we're out. So they left the scene. Well, the guy's mom, who had gotten out of the garage and gotten a few blocks away, she went back to the house. And she had said earlier, she said, if you don't get my son, he's either going to give me a heart attack or he's going to kill me. And then sure enough, the mom goes back to the house. The son opens fire and kills his mother. Absolutely 100% preventable if it wasn't for the House bill, if it wasn't for the Democrats in Olympia. And so the two people who were most vociferous about the righteousness of this bill, Representative Jesse Johnson was the author of it, and this Auburn murder was in his neighborhood. And I respected the fact that he came on my show, and he answered a lot of tough questions about it. But he sounded ridiculous in many ways, too. You know, he told cops after a slow speed chase, well, just say that they looked like they were drunk. I mean, it's like he was telling cops to lie to pull over a guy who stole a school bus. And since the cops can't grab anybody up unless they witness the crime, then the criminal can just get away. And he said, well, the cops could walk alongside him, kind of just walk him into a corner. I mean, it's just ridiculous stuff that has absolutely no relation to reality. So yesterday and again today, I tried to get Jesse Johnson, the state representative, on the show to talk about the murder in his district that his bill was directly contributory to. We also tried to get, what's the other guy's name? The lawyer in Pioneer Square, Nicole's Roger Goodman. Roger? I don't know where she is. I think it was Roger Goodman. But he's another Democratic rep who came on my show to defend this bill. And we've tried to get him on for 2 days. But now that people are dying, now that people are getting murdered because of this bill, all of a sudden, all these Democrats who supported it and voted for it and said, oh, yeah, we're gonna crack down on police. Now, you're cracking down on nothing. You're just enabling murders. So we did get a response today from Representative Johnson's people, and all Nicole sent to me was, I just heard from Representative Johnson's office that he's going to respectfully pass on this interview. Why? You write a bill that everybody knew was flawed, everybody knew was horribly written. You tell police in the bill that they should use more beanbags, and then you prohibit the kind of gun that fires beanbags. You should have had a special session months ago to fix this stupid bill before so many criminals were getting away. And came on to defend it when you wrote it, but now that everything I predicted about this bill in my conversation with Representative Johnson, everything that I predicted is coming to fruition, and people are getting murdered, now he's respectfully declining a conversation. And I think it's an act of cowardice to write a horribly flawed bill, have somebody murdered because of it, and then hide from any questions about that. I will continue to have an open invitation to Representative Johnson or Goodman or any of the people who tried telling us that this piece of garbage bill was somehow worthwhile. Next up in the Fastest 15. So, Nicole, did you already have your tickets for Garth Brooks?
No, they never ended up going on sale here, so they called it off before it went on sale.
Okay, you were going to go with a group of about 20 people, though, right?
Yes, I had lots of people.
Okay.
Ready to roll.
Well, Garth Brooks, he canceled, and it was going to be at the Seahawks Stadium, this huge concert. He can still sell out 60,000-seat venues, apparently. Well, Garth Brooks is now... What?
Really quick, just last time he was here, he was at the Tacoma Dome, and he sold out, I believe it was 8 nights in a row.
Really?
Yes.
That's 20,000 each, so 160,000 people.
And it was awesome.
Good for him. He must be. I'm not a huge Garth Brooks fan. Nicole has started to get me more and more listening to country music, much of which I like. I'm listening to more and more of it every single day. I like going on my deck in the summertime and just putting music on, decompressing after the show. And I'll tell you the best Spotify playlist, the Friday Night Lights playlist, where it's kind of music from the TV show Friday Night Lights. But there's a lot of country music on there, and I just love it. Anyway, let's get back to Garth Brooks. So he has announced that instead of the stadiums where he had booked his entire concert tour, he is now going to play dive bars on the tour to ensure that everybody who attends are vaccinated. So he's insisting that the dive bars have somebody checking vaccination status, and then when they get in, they'll just get a little intimate concert from him. Has he announced a Seattle area dive bar yet?
Not that I've seen. I think it's a bummer because all of his tickets that were going to be available at Lumen Field were going to be $85, I think. And now you know that these tickets, there's going to be fewer. And so, of course, they're going to be extremely expensive, most likely. Or you'll just have to buy them secondary because no one will be able to get them when they go on sale.
Yeah, but the scalpers are going to get way more.
That's what I mean.
For a dive bar than you would get for football stadium.
That's what I mean. So
yeah, that would be pretty cool.
At a normal price, they're still going to go, you're going to have to pay hundreds.
Yeah, no, that'd be a cool, intimate setting to see somebody you love. So
absolutely.
Anyway, dive bars ahead for Garth Brooks. Okay, next up in the Festus 15. So the world of wrestling, I was unwittingly dragged headfirst into the world of wrestling because I was a sports producer at King 5 back in the 80s when the sports director was one of my dearest friends in the world, Tony Ventrella. And one of the brilliant ideas Tony came up with, every Wednesday night on the 11 o'clock King 5 News, he would do the wrestling hold of the week. And so then, you know, when World Wrestling Federation would come to the Seattle Center Coliseum, we'd do live shots from there, and I've told stories about that before. Well, so back then, one of the big stars is Hulk Hogan, and then the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And Randy Savage, his manager was this petite, beautiful woman. They called her the Lovely Elizabeth. And back then, it was okay for the announcers to kind of ogle a beautiful woman. You know, you're not allowed to do that today, but back then,
I've got something to say to the zillions of people all around the world. And I've also got something to say to Elizabeth.
Maybe. You can do it, Randy.
He pulled out a diamond ring. And I'm not going to play the whole thing. But that's what it was. It was, you know, just macho men and beautiful babes. That was wrestling back then. Well, now wrestling has finally come into 2021 because I don't know if this is WWE or WWF or some other wrestling foundation, but they have a new wrestler. And he is billed as the first woke wrestler ever.
Tonight, this ring is a safe space. NXT 2.0 is full of conflict, from the smallest microaggression to the most heinous grudges.
Now, I guess it is WWE. The XX must be a subgroup. Anyway, his name is Joe Gacy. And like everything that's woke, he's a loser. He lost his match, but after the match, he stayed woke.
Joe Gacy, how are you feeling about this loss tonight?
Tonight, the better man won. And I still believe that we can achieve peace and unity. I want to make NXT 2.0, a safe space. Thank you for your time.
I have to admit, that's a great bit by WWE. Well done. All right, next up in the Fastest 15, we have a brand new quote out today from Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I know what you're thinking. Dory, you're nuts. Didn't Ruth Bader Ginsburg die a year ago? Yes, but we also have a brand new quote from her. So is she talking from the beyond? No, it turns out that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she once said that, here's the quote. She said, "The decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a woman's life, to her well-being and dignity." Okay? The decision to bear a child is central to a woman's life, to her well-being and dignity. Well, the ACLU posted that quote today. But they changed words to make it more trans-friendly. So a year after she died, Ruth Bader Ginsburg says, the decision whether or not to bear a child is central to a person's life, not a woman's, and to their well-being and dignity instead of her. Now, you want to talk about a creepy time? You want to talk about Orwellian? When organizations like the ACLU, which has any organization gotten as far from its original mission and purpose? The ACLU is about to protect your civil liberties and to respect the Constitution, and now it is just another far-left rag organization. But they're changing the quotes of people after they die to make them more palatable. Because we can't suggest that women have babies. I find that really outrageous, to change a dead person's quote because somebody who's alive thinks they could put it better. All right, next up in the Festus 15. Hey, Donald Trump went golfing this morning. It's one of his favorite activities. One of his other favorite activities is slamming Joe Biden. So imagine his joy when he was able to combine the two. He was on a tee, lots of news cameras there, and he hit, I must say, he hit a really nice drive, long and straight.
All right, fellas, here we go.
What a shot.
Beauty.
You think Biden can hit a ball like that?
No.
He can get it past the first tee.
He forget where he hit it.
Yep, combining golf and bashing Biden. What could be better than that? But everybody's bashing Biden these days, including the far radical left. Like Maxine Waters. Man, he has lost everybody. He might, within a month or two, Joe Biden might have the lowest approval rating of any president ever. I got to check and see what Nixon's lowest was right before he resigned. But Joe Biden could be the lowest approval rating of any president in our history.
I'm pissed.
Nope.
I'm unhappy, and I'm not just unhappy with the Cowboys who were running down Haitians and using their reins to whip them. I'm happy with the administration. We are following the Trump policy. He is the one that does not follow the Constitution and would not allow those seeking refuge to be able to petition to get into the country.
Ooh, Joe Biden has lost Maxine Waters. That's crazy. And by the way, they weren't whipping Haitians. There were a couple of still photos where the horseback border patrol, they had their reins in their hands, and first they said whipping, then they said swinging, and then it was riding. But because they had the reins in their hands with some slack on it, and they were near one of the illegal aliens trying to get into the country, the Democrats make up out of whole cloth. They were whipping Haitians. Because they have future voters that are heading into the country. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes of the News. Fast. Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. All right, coming up next, I don't know if you're ever a former Green Beret. Green Beret, Army Special Forces. Joe Kent has spent most of his adult life fighting terrorists. His wife was killed by ISIS in Syria when she was fighting terrorists. He wants to be a congressman from the 3rd District in our state. And we're going to talk about what's going on in Afghanistan and in our country next on The Dory Monson Show.
We'll be right back.
Well, in the chaotic, disastrous foreign policy disaster of Afghanistan, one thing that I talked about was there was no way to vet every Afghan person who was being flown to this country, tens of thousands of them, despite what the Biden administration tried to tell us. They said they were vetting everybody, but we saw the mad scramble, people just getting up on stairs to the plane and diving in. There's no way everybody was vetted. And now we're starting to see some of the impacts, because my fear is that they're not going to assimilate here after a millennium of warring tribes in Afghanistan. A couple of news stories today. One of the Afghan refugees, he has been charged with raping a minor girl. This one in Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, forcibly engaging in a sexual act with her. And then another one, Muhammad Hamoun Imad, is charged with assaulting his spouse by strangling and suffocating her. Somebody who knows people very well from around the world, Joe Kent. He's running for Congress in Washington's 3rd District. He has spent most of his adult life as a warrior fighting terrorists around the world. He joins us once again here on the Dory Monson Show. Joe, always great to talk with you.
Thanks so much for having me back on.
And I did see on Twitter that you were commenting on the sexual assault. I don't know if you knew about the guy who assaulted his wife as well and tried to suffocate her. But why were you moved to talk about this on Twitter?
Yeah, I think it's really important for everybody to realize what's happened here. I mean, the Biden administration has lied to us continuously throughout this botched Afghan withdrawal. But one of the huge narratives we were told is that we took this huge risk in this evacuation, and we pushed our soldiers out into this massive humanity of Afghans to pull out our allies. And then we tragically lost 13 great Americans, and there's still many more that are recovering from wounds in Walter Reed and Longstill, Germany. We were told that risk was worth it because we were saving Afghans that were translators that had fought alongside of us. And we come to find out that simply wasn't true. We left those great Afghans who fought alongside of us, who have the special immigrant visas. We left the vast majority of them in country with American citizens. And we just flew in somewhere between 60,000 and 100,000 unvetted Afghans. And now eventually the Biden administration comes clean and says, well, we're going to do the vetting here now. And the vetting process is very long to go into people's backgrounds. But also there's the cultural assimilation issue, which really Afghan culture couldn't be further from American culture. And that's not to say that some Afghans here and there who've earned their way and been properly vetted don't belong in American society. We can absorb them and we can bring them into the melting pot. But to bring in unvetted Afghans has this massive security risk. And now you're starting to see a lot of this Afghan, I guess, rape culture, and then the way Afghans look at women and children in general. Obviously, not all of them, but there is a cultural component there that people don't want to address. But if you've been to these parts of the world, this is something that is unfortunately and tragically common, and it does not belong at all in our society. And I really want people to remember that this has been brought into America, and what it cost us is 13 dead Americans, and really actually over 2,500 dead Americans if you look at the totality of the lie of the Afghan war. So that's what I want people to focus on, and it's here in our country, and now we're dealing with this crisis in the interior of the United States, and we paid for them to come here. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And now they're here, and now we're having to deal with it.
Well, I don't think what you said about rape culture is even considered controversial, whether you're on the left or right, liberal, conservative. Everybody knew what was going to happen to little girls and young women in Afghanistan after the United States left, and we're certainly hearing reports of that. But let's get back to what we should all be concerned about, and that's our country, our administration. Not only did they engineer this disaster, but then a couple weeks later, they told us they took out an ISIS-K terrorist. The Pentagon just flat out lied to the American people. They said there were secondary explosions proving that these were suicide bombers. They said that they had proof of all of this. And then last weekend, they had to admit, no, we took out 7 children and 3 aid workers taking water to a refugee camp. I mean, the disaster just continues weeks and months after the initial one.
Yeah, so we managed to fly child rapists here. That cost us 13 dead great Americans. And then when we tried to get vengeance, we actually killed what appears to be a very good person and his family, an aid worker. So really, just shows lie after lie. But really, the bottom line is this is the military-industrial complex and the Biden administration executing basically what I would say is a win-win. When they were looking at whether they're going to take the strike or not, they said, hey, we have to strike back because we just lost 13 great Americans. We have to do something. And so the Pentagon said, okay, let's take a gamble with some of this Taliban intelligence. They went to the Taliban one more time and said, like, hey, who's actually trying to attack us right now? And the Taliban, not being stupid, said, hey, we'll give you somebody to attack. And they passed us this intel. And so for the Pentagon, though, they knew it was win-win. If the Taliban had gotten us an actual target, a real suicide bomber or somebody of military value, then the Pentagon could say, hey, look, the Taliban, these guys are actually going to be a good liaison partner. And then they can funnel more money from the military industrial complex into the Taliban. Or if the Taliban totally screwed it up, like we knew they would, which I don't think they screwed it up. They knew what they were doing. Then the Pentagon could say, hey, look, we have to have boots on the ground in Afghanistan. Otherwise, we'll get this. So they're essentially going to be able to hold the American people hostage again and say, hey, if we don't have boots on the ground in Afghanistan, we won't know where the terrorists are. We can't possibly strike. So really, we are being manipulated here again by the military-industrial complex. And then the Biden political machine is attempting to spin it. But, you know, we actually have some diligent members of the media left who called them out on it.
Well, is it a reasonable fear when this family with seven children gets blown up by us that some of the Afghans who have resettled in our country now could be radicalized by that?
Oh, of course. Yeah, there's massive implications to doing these blind strikes without doing proper intelligence development. I mean, in the fog of war, things like this do happen. However, the way that this was handled, where we got the intelligence from, how little vetting we did, it wasn't going to be an imminent attack. This guy was, he wasn't, you know, pointing his car at the perimeter of HKIA, speeding along without any kind of warning. There was different things, steps that we could have taken, but we didn't. Again, because that's because I think the Pentagon viewed it as win-win, and the Biden political machine was like, hey, just give me this win. But yeah, the people that are in Afghanistan, that we flew here from Afghanistan are now seeing this. And many of them were probably already radicalized. We don't know who these people are. These were just the ones that were smart and savvy enough and knew the Taliban well enough to punch through that checkpoint. That's why most of the good people didn't get through the Taliban checkpoint, because they were on the outs of the Taliban. These are the guys that were either smart enough, strong enough, or had enough connections with the Taliban to get through the checkpoint. And now they're here in America, and some of them are raping and doing other horrible things.
Well, and I'm just amazed. You know, they're telling people in our state that if they don't get vaxxed, they're going to get fired. And yet we can have General Mark Milley execute the worst foreign policy disaster imaginable. 13 of our best get blown up. A family with seven children gets blown up. And this guy keeps his job. Everybody keeps their jobs. There's no accountability, Joe.
No, there's none. Our institutions are absolutely crumbling. We the American people, should have very little faith in our institutions because they haven't showed us that they're actually competent or have our best interests in mind. The thing with Milley, he executes this horribly planned withdrawal in an effort to keep the military-industrial complex, that whole machinery going. And then to redeem himself, he does that tactical leak to Bob Woodward that says, like, hey, remember, you guys might not like me right now because I just botched this whole Afghan thing. But remember, I was against Trump, and now you have the media running to Mark Milley's aid to say, hey, wait, Milley may have screwed this up. He may have, you know, volunteered information to China that's borderline treasonous. However, he was working against Trump. So now there's some sort of path to redemption for him in the eyes of our institutions. I mean,
I know you're right, ridiculous. But I also know how just insane we have gotten because you are right.
That's where we're at. And people wonder why there's no faith when the government says, like, hey, you guys should probably go and get the vaccines. Like, why would we trust you now? I am not totally anti-vax, but the way that the government has just not been honest with us on so many different issues, but especially COVID, Afghanistan, the list goes on. It's like, how can we continue to operate this way? We the people give the government power. If the government continues to abuse their power, we the people have to take the power back.
Amen, my brother. All right, Joe Kent, he's running for Congress in Washington's 3rd District. Joe, it's always great to have you on. I appreciate your time today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, you bet. Joe Kent joining us, and I'd love to hear what you think about everything you just heard. Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, I can never get enough of these stories, but your college, if you are a college student, or your kids' college, they once again are very prominent in the news today in trying to rewire how we speak and interact. The latest one is from a college in Pittsburgh called Point Park University. And their Office of Equity and Inclusion has sent out to the student body the college's anti-discrimination policy for this school year. And part of it is their preferred name policy. Rules regarding misgendering, pronoun misuse, and dead naming. I didn't know what dead naming was. But it turns out it's the use of a person's legal name instead of using the person's chosen or preferred name. Now, you see, I would have called it your birth name. But no, it's your dead name if you've changed your name. So, anyway, I'm just scrolling down, and it says any individual who misgenders or uses the wrong pronoun, the university says, quote, action could be taken. Whew. That sounds dicey. I bet that would go right on your permanent record. And then they mentioned this. Somebody said, well, what about if I didn't intend to? I just made a mistake. And they say in this guide that intent doesn't matter. That even if you didn't intend to insult somebody, and it's just a slip up, they are still going to punish you. So be careful if you send your kids to Point Park University because action could be taken. And then there's another one of these in the news today. College reform. They got this from Florida International University, where they have told students to not use the words husband, wife, or you may kiss the bride. They on all university-sponsored documents, they're changing the wording of everything. And I have a long list of everything that they're changing. You can't say husband or wife anymore. You can say partner or spouse. You can't say you may kiss the bride. You can say you may kiss each other. You can't call somebody or write down that somebody is African-American. But you can write down African-American without the hyphen. I'm not making this up. Hispanic-American. That is not allowed. Hispanic-American without the hyphen is allowed. And then you can't say that you were born female or born male. You have to call yourself a cisgender woman or a cisgender man. So anyway, I know that all of you like to stay right on the cutting edge of political correctness. So I just try to help wherever I can. All right, we're going to take a quick time out here. Next hour in our big lead at 2 o'clock, I'm going to tell you about the story. We reported it yesterday, but now we have some details from eyewitnesses. Somebody who just stole a car in South Seattle. He didn't realize there was a baby in the car seat in the back seat. So we'll get into that and then all of the other news that we've got to hit on a very busy afternoon. The Dory Monson Show rolls on.